The gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew's gospel in the 17th chapter. What is related here in Matthew's gospel occurs 6 days after Peter's confession. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop. And there they beheld that he was transfigured into what he was never before. Excuse me, I lost my spot here. I'm so embarrassed. This should never happen. But I guess we're only human, right? I have to trust paper instead of my little smartphone, which is perhaps not so smart after all. Or maybe it's only as smart as the user. That may be closer to the truth. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." May God add understanding to the reading of that word. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Our Lord God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And may those things said this morning that are true be engraved upon every heart. And those things said that may be false, may it be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. I do not know how many of you have noticed a little teddy bear tied to a directional or to a traffic sign in the middle of War Memorial Drive near the corner of Sheridan and War Memorial. I noticed it shortly after I came here. This last weekend, I was looking for that little teddy bear as I was preparing for this morning's sermon, and I realized it had been moved away from the median over to one of the street signs along the frontage road. I was curious what was the origin of that bear, because it had been there as long as I have been in Peoria. It gets traded out every now and then as the weather and the seasons begin to fade and destroy the bear. Sometimes it is decked out in a little Santa outfit. Currently, it's just a brown little bear tied with a zip tie to a signpost. In 2011, Phil Luciano wrote an article about the origin of that bear. Several years ago, those of you who've been in Peoria longer than I have may remember that in a bit of a domestic dispute, an employee at the Title Max on University Avenue was attacked and stabbed to death. And though she worked for a competitor, which is located on the north side of War Memorial Drive at the art intersection, Trisha Hodgkin decided that she would put a teddy bear there so that everyone who drove by would remember the people killed at that Title Max over a decade ago. She established a makeshift memorial so people would not forget the individuals who died while at work several years ago. In our gospel lesson, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to the mountaintop with him. In Scripture, the mountaintops are always where theophanies occur. It is where God speaks with humans, and there's a special revelation of who God is. Theophanies are those places that are the thin places, the Scots would say, where the eternal and the temporal seem to touch, where heaven and earth touch. It was on the mountaintop, you may recall, that Moses received the Ten Commandments. And it was on the mountaintop that Moses would go to speak to God. It was on the mountaintop where Moses asked God if he could see his glory, and God said no. For to see the fullness of the glory of God was so great that a person would surely die. So God planted Moses in a crevice so that he could see the glory of God pass by. On the mountaintop, Peter, James, and John saw a vision. Jesus was transfigured into brightness. And in the light of that brightness stood Moses and Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver. Elijah, the prophet who was to come before the Messiah. There the three of them stood. And Peter said to Jesus, "It is good that we are here. Let us build three booths. Let us build three tents. Let us build three monuments or memorials marking this spot as a holy place so that we may remember and others may recall what occurred here." But Jesus, you may recall, said no. And a cloud enveloped the disciples. And from the cloud came a voice, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Reminiscent of Jesus' baptism earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, when he came out of the baptismal waters, and the voice was heard by perhaps none other than Jesus. Peter cannot be faulted for wanting to build a memorial or a tabernacle or a monument to Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on that day. It is something that you did when you had a holy encounter. You may recall the Old Testament story of Jacob, who, when he was fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau, he fell asleep one night on a rock, and during that sleep, he had a dream of a ladder that extended from heaven down to earth, and angels were going up and down on the ladder. The promise given to Abraham was reconfirmed in Jacob's own life. And when Jacob awoke, he took three rocks and made a memorial, a monument marking that place, because it was holy. Jesus did not want a memorial left to him, at least not one made with stone. He did not want monuments, because the problem with monuments and memorials is that they freeze a moment in time, and they can be a good reminder, but they themselves are not alive. And soon their stories can be forgotten, much as the story of the reason that the teddy bear stands near the intersection of War Memorial and Sheridan Road. Jesus did not want a memorial. God said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Implicit in the listening to him is doing what the person tells you to do. A few weeks ago, someone came into my office and sat in a chair in complete frustration because they just been in a dialogue with someone, and they said to me wearily, "So-and-so just doesn't listen. They don't understand what it is and I'm telling them to do. They have their own ideas and have turned off their hearing." Listening to Jesus means that we take Jesus seriously. that we do that which he tells us to do. Because Jesus did not want dead memorials, but he wanted living memorials, living monuments. In the first letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul writes to that gathered community, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. And so it is Jesus with the disciples. He wants living memorials. He wants living monuments. He wants disciples to be alive with his instructions, with his teachings, embodying his way of life. Over the last several weeks, we've looked at the Sermon on the Mount. In which Jesus said to his disciples what it means to be a disciple within their own community of faith, with themselves individually, as well as with the greater world. And he began by reminding them that they are the salt of the world and the light of the earth. They have been called and set aside by God for a particular purpose and reason. And then he told them how to live in community with one another, so that others will see how they live, what the very embodiment of life in the kingdom of God looks like, so that they too want to be a part of that life together. And then he told them how they should live in the world, not taking the world's values as their own values, but rather living to a higher standard to God's calling in this world. Each Christian and each community of faith is a little mustard seed planted by the hand of God in a world that is full of thorns and thistles and weeds. Each Christian and each community of faith is a candle that is lit in a world of darkness. Each Christian and each community of faith is that pinch of salt that brings out the flavor of God's creation in this world. And so as we enter into the season of Lent this coming Wednesday, as we take a time of spiritual reflection upon what it means to be a follower of Christ, and as we prepare our hearts and our minds for the celebration of what lies at the very center of the Christian faith, the celebration of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, we are called to be a part of the transfiguration, to be living monuments, living memorials, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed, in action and in thought. Not so that others will think that we are a great person or long remember us after our time here on earth has come to completion, but rather so that others may see us and this community of faith and reflect upon our good deeds and see the glory of God because we have touched their lives. To God be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Would you join me, if you are able, by standing and either reading or reciting the Apostles' Creed as it is found in our bulletins? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Will you please lift your hearts with me as we pray as intercessors, bringing before God our church, our community, and all of creation. Please pray. Lord Jesus, you are our living head. Teach us to be your body here on earth. your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your compassionate heart. Lord, send the impulses of your love into every corner of this church and into every corner of creation. May your will and thoughts direct us. Let your hands, through our hands, supply food for our neighbor's hunger. Let them hear your voice as we visit and talk with them. Let our lives be a testament to your mercy, forgiveness, and love. Lord, we pray for the President of the United States, the Governor of Illinois, and all elected and appointed officials. May they seek your will in all their doings. Lord, we pray for those who are undergoing medical testing and treatment. Guide the aides, the nurses, and the doctors as they care for those who are suffering. Lord, you are our head. We wait for your power, your word, your instruction. Fill us with your life and love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.